When you came into the church today, you either bowed or genuflected before the tabernacle. Why? Because inside our consecrated host, Christ under the appearance of bread. Yes, we believe Christ is inside the tabernacle. That is why we genuflect. The tabernacle is not holy in itself. It is holy because of what it contains. St. Paul in our second reading tells us that we as the church and as individuals, our whole lives in us. The temple of God, which you are, is holy. The reading from Leviticus and Matthew's Gospel not only calls us to holiness, but they tell us how to be holy. First, holiness means to be set apart from sin and set apart for God. We become set apart when we seek God's wisdom in our lives rather than to be lured into the attractive wisdom of the world or to follow the deceiver in the world. We set ourselves apart when we hold to God's values, when they clash with today's conventional wisdom. God is not telling us to be isolated from others. In fact, God tells us to be engaged by being fair, compassionate, non-violent. As we say, we sing, holy, 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 or sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. A saint is a holy person. We grow in holiness to the extent that we surrender our lives to God. In our first reading, God says, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Then he tells us how to do that. Our reading only has four verses. However, in the whole chapter of chapter 19 of Leviticus, God gives many directives, ending 12 times with, "I am the Lord." That means, listen up, I'm speaking. God's directives cover many of the Ten Commandments about respect for parents, for the Sabbath, care for the poor and aliens. God commands that we do not steal, lie, and that employers treat employees fairly. God condemns hatred, bitterness, and revenge. We are told to love your neighbor as yourself. In our gospel, Jesus ends our gospel today saying, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Being perfect does not mean flawless or sinless, but wholeness or being complete. His example explained, Jesus calls for mercy over justice. The Old Testament teaching, an eye for an eye, was actually a limit placed on a former practice of limitless revenge. It was seen as justice. Jesus calls for mercy, not retaliation. Jesus asks us to give freely of time, treasure, and effort, especially to the needy. When he said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," loving means wanting the good for them, praying for their conversion. You don't have to like them or trust them. Love is in the will. It is not about feeling. It is. Remember, St. Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And this is also the proof that we are children of God. How would our lives change if we were aware of ourselves as holy temples of God? Would we give up some habits that disrespect our bodies? Would our language change, our internet use, and other selections of TV, dress, or our social life? Would we treat others differently if we saw them as temples of the living God? Would our behavior change behind the wheel, in the grocery store, with the poor, or with those living on the fringe of society? We as church and as individuals have the Spirit of God living in us. We are temple of the living God. Yet before us is the tabernacle which holds Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity. It is an awesome miracle. There's a saying, comes in our hearts to dwell. May we always try to be worthy as we can be every time we receive the Lord during Holy Communion, adoring Him before we receive Him, showing Him our utmost respect by genuflecting our full body bow before we receive Him. May we imitate our Blessed Mother so that we may be fit dwelling place of God like her, by getting rid of sin and live radical generosity towards God and our neighbor. Amen. Just a reminder for this coming Wednesday, we will be, of course, doing Us Wednesday. Maybe we can ask, why we do that Us's? There are three things that symbolize for the Us's. First, mortality. You are dust, and to dust you will return. So meaning, this is not our true home here. We will die because we are mortal, but God is offering us eternal life if we repent from our sins. That's why the second meaning of the Us's is repentance. In the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 6, it says, as Job is standing before the Lord, he says this, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So now we have another layer of meaning. Not only does dust symbolize mortality, but ashes and dust symbolize mortality and repentance from sin. Repentance is the second meaning of the symbol of ashes. And third, finally, it is about the example of Easter. Easter in the book of Easter, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. We see that Easter, who is married to the king, a pagan king, who is going to kill all the Jews unless she intercedes for them and gets him to save them. She enters into a time of intense prayer and fasting and supplication for her people. And this is how she does it. Esther the queen, seized with deathly anxiety, fled to the Lord. He took off her splendid apparel and put on the garments of distress and mourning. And instead of costly perfumes, she covered, utterly humbled her body, and every part that she loved to adorn, she covered with her tangled hair, and she prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel. So three things about the meaning of using ashes. First, a symbol of mortality. Second, a symbol of repentance. And the use of penance or sacrifice during intense period of prayer, even interceding for others. So these three things we will be talking about more on Ash Wednesday, and we will be practicing on this coming Lent to go against these three usual things that we sin from: pride, pleasure, and possession. which we will be conquering by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, or by increasing our faith, self-sacrifice, and charity. May the Blessed Mother help us all. Amen.